Fine. So, in general, on Tuesdays, I do something with which is Inyana Dioma. So I figured we should do something on the on Sfirna Omer. So I figured we'd at least outline the source, the Minhage Avelot. I took these sources from my Josh Flug. That's why he has the, this thing. Okay, so why do we have Minhage Avelot during Sfirna Omer? So you have to remember that this is actually surprising. Why is it surprising that we have Minhage Avelot during Sfirah? Well, why is it surprising that we have Minhage Avelot, right? Very good, right? Because as Evan said, it should be a happy time. Why should it be a happy time? It's the time between Pesach and Shavuot. The Ramban goes as far as to say that this is the Chol HaMoed of Pesach and Shavuot. Because what's one of the names of Shavuot? Atzeret, just like Shmini Atzeret, right? That Pesach basically ends on Shavuot, which again conceptually is true in the sense that Yetziat Mitzrayim culminated with Matan Torah. So it's really a very happy time. The notion that it should be a time where there's minhagim of avelot is very, very surprising, and the avelot is very late. The Mishnah doesn't mention the avelot. The Gemara doesn't mention the avelot. You start to have the beginnings of these avelot in the Gaonim, and it develops later on. But it's very surprising that there's any minhagim of avelot at all. Right? The whole thing is surprising. Now, the tradition that is most often connected to the Minhagei Avelot is the Gemara in Yevamot, that this is when the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva died. Right? The Gemara in Yevamot Sachbet says Rabbi Akiva Omer, Lamad Talmud Torah v'yaldutot, that if you learn Torah when you're a child, Yomod Torah b'ziknutot, you should learn when you're older. Hayelo Talmidim v'yaldutot, if you have students when you're younger, you Talmidim v'ziknutot, you still have students when you're older. Shenemar, the pasuk in Kohelet says that Baboker Zarach, on the morning you should plant your seeds, Big Omer, and then the second half, which is really the drasha, is right. If you don't know Tanakh, then you won't understand at the second half. What is the second half of the pasuk? Because this part of the pasuk doesn't prove anything. What's the second half of the pasuk? And I'm glad you all know Tanakh so well. The first half is Bapoker Zrat Zarecha. The second half is Erev Al Tanach Yadecha. In the afternoon, you should also not be, right, pull your hands away from it. Meaning, even if you work in the morning, you should keep working in the afternoon. That's the drasha here. So, why the Gemara says, well, how did he not, why did he lose his students such that even though he had students when he was young, he kept going when he was old? So, Amru, Shnei Maser Elev Zugim Tamidim Hayyadol Rabbi Kiva. Right, so they didn't honor each other, so he lost 24,000 students. And then he had a second round, right? The Torah was desolate of, the world was desolate of Torah until he taught five more students. And then Gemara says they died somewhere between Pesach and Shavuot. So it is true. The Gemara brings a tradition that they died then. But remember, as Nathan said before, but it doesn't say anything about Avelot. It just says they died then. Again, we should be very clear. The Minhag does not appear in the Gemara. The tradition that there is Avelot is not, you don't have to say that they died then, and therefore there's Avelot, right? This is one tradition, but you could say they died then, and there's no Avelot. The Minhag is clearly not Talmudic, even though the tradition that they died then is, right? Now, yeah.
It's so weird that 24,000 Talmudic died for not being covered.
Oh, yeah, I mean, this whole tradition is very problematic, and then, now, of course, academics will tell you that's not what's going on, right? The Gemara says that's the cover. Right, really, it's that we know Rabbi Kiva was politically active in the Bar Kokhba revolt, and therefore historians claim that this is the Gemara's cover or reinterpretation of the fact that his students were politically involved in a rebellion that failed, and we know they were massacred. Right, so is it that they were punished by God because of this, or is this the Gemara's theological comments after they died in a political rebellion, and now it's looking for a spiritual lesson to learn from it? So yeah, right, there's a lot of things that you need to add here. Now, even if this was the source, then presumably when should the It says be Pesach to Atzeret, right? But even if that's the case, so when should you be mourning? The entire, if this was the story, you should mourn the entire Sfirat HaOmer. However, the Minhagim don't seem to go in that direction. Now, if you look at number two here, the Tshuvat HaGaonim, this is the first time it appears, right? So as I said, this is primarily a Minhag HaGaonim. So the Gaonim say, V'sha'alta lama ein mikachin v'ein kodsin b'ein Pesach la'atzeret im achmat isurim lav. Why do people not get married between Pesach and Shavuot? Is it because it's us or not? So he answers, Heve yodim shalom mishum iser hu. Ela mishum minag. It's not forbidden. It's a custom. It's a minag avilu. Shekach amru chachamim shneim asar alafim zugim tamidim ayolo l'ribi kiva. V'kula meitu ben bezak la'atzeret al shalom nogu ze boze. V'tani ala v'kula meitu mita mishuna. The Gemara, the continuation of the Gemara, they all died a terrible death. Ba'askara of diphtheria. Uva'oto shava elach nogu rishonami b'yamim elu shalom l'chnos b'hen. And therefore, the minag was, now the Gaonim claimed this minag goes back to the Gemara, but again, it's not recorded in the Gemara, to not get married then. But even then, they say the minag is pretty weak. So if the one does get married during Sfira, okay. Lo onish lo malch, we don't punish them in any way, shape, or form. Aval im bal isho, but if they ask you, lechatchilo ein morin lo lechnos, you shouldn't tell them to get married. They do. They do. They ask you, don't. Ula inyan kidushin, and that's only for nisuin. Right, the second stage of marriage. But they want to do the first stage of marriage. Kiddushim, Ratzel, Kadim, Ezekiel, Atzer, Mekadesh. The fee Shein, Iker, Simcha, Ela, Bechupa. Now, the other early minhag that comes up with this is haircutting. Right, is haircutting. Now, I remember many years ago, I heard a shiur by Rabbi Yitzchak Twersky. He came to Gush to give a guest shiur. Now, he is very convinced that these are the only two that really, really should be part of the minhag. And he makes a very interesting argument, which is, on the one hand, there's these minhag avelut. On the other hand, as we said, it's very strange that this is a sad period at all. It's really a happy period. According to the Ramban, it's Chol HaMoed. So he had a very clever chop. Which is that, again, what are the two earliest minhagim? Marriage. And then later on is haircutting. So we'll get to that in a minute. But so Nathan says, how could you have a veil during Chol HaMoed? So he said, well, you can't. Except if it's something that's usher during Chol HaMoed also. So you're not allowed to get married during Chol HaMoed because of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. Independently, you're not allowed to get married during it. And you also aren't Midir Rabbanan, you're not allowed to get haircuts during Chol HaMoed. Right? What? Yes. Right. The Gemara says you don't get haircuts during Chol HaMoed because we want you to get a haircut before Yom Tov, and we know that if we let you get in Chol HaMoed, so you have more time off on Chol HaMoed, you'll get it then. So what we do is we say it's also getting Chol HaMoed to encourage you to get it before. So Ray Twersky said, well, what did we do when we wanted to set up Minhag Avelut? We picked Minhag Avelut that are also true during Chol HaMoed. And therefore, exactly. Right, that was his chav. Right, and therefore he thought that some of the later accretions were much more problematic, like not listening to music and the like, because those are avelut, avelut. Whereas not getting married. What? Fine. Okay, so you know that that's actually Ramosha Feinstein's argument. Ramosha Feinstein's argument is that there is no minhag not to listen to music during Sfirat HaOmer, but really you shouldn't listen to music anytime. But no one listens to me. But during Sfirat HaOmer, people will listen to me. So really, it's not that it's usher now, it's usher always, but people listen to me during Sfirat HaOmer in the 3 weeks. Right? That's how Ramosha. A few hundred years ago. Right, again, right, historically, in time of the Gemara, Kiddushin was usually done about a year before Nisuin. Yeah, I think at that point it still was. I mean, Gonim, clearly you're saying that. Later on, it becomes okay. Now, there are admittedly other rationales that are given. Now, historically, historians claim that this is not really why we have Nihug Avelut. And they argue that it only became popular in the Middle Ages because the time between Pesach and Shavuot was also the time of the Crusades. And therefore, the Jews wanted to commemorate the Crusades, which were, you know, really a terrible catastrophe. Exactly. And they tied it to this. And now, the Taz does admittedly point to that. I didn't give it to you. But the Taz in Tav Tzadik Gimel Bet says, Ubevadai, right, so he says, V'yesh lomar, divadai, the ikush achalag omer lomitov. Afilachin on tzar avilut machmat gzera tuftov nunvav, shahaita ba ashkenaz bein pesach lad seret. Kemo shemifurish biotzer to piutim. Shanu omer mishabatot. Hey, now we do have other minhagim that point to the fact. So, for example, Av HaRachamim was a tefillah that was written around the Crusades, right? You ever pay attention to the words of Av HaRachamim? We ask God to remember those who fell and to avenge the death of those who were killed. Right? This is a tefillah about that was composed around this time. Normally, the minhag of Av HaRachamim is you don't say it on any Shabbat when you wouldn't say Tachanun. But what's the exception? During the Omer, because during the Omer, this is when the actual tragedies for which this tefillah was made that we do it. So, the Taz argues that that's the other reason that we have Avelut, and that's why he thinks that there's some Nihugi Avelut even after they die, right? And we'll get to the dates that they died. But many historians claim that no. But it, really, that's the real reason for this, the reason that it became widely accepted. Right? Now, the Gaonim are pre that, and they're saying that it exists. What?
You said the Crusades
would
come.
Because the most intense Crusades were, in fact, in the spring. Like, this was
like
the time.
Every year spring.
No. Or but, like, okay, there were multiple Crusades.
Right.
But the first, I think it was the first Crusade was, let's see, the first Crusade, I mean, it was in 1096, but, yeah, I mean, I think part of it was worse in the spring, around Pesach, right, around Easter, right? So I'm not sure, but... Yeah, but it happened to be, right, the Crusades were around this time, so historians will claim that that's really what's going on. Now, Rabbeinu Yerucham, interestingly, gives another reason that has nothing to do with this. Rabbeinu Yerucham says, V'amruk tivhacha aviv, adam ki yasura aviv, u'karbana sota shabam yisarin, lachen in kontzim nashim u'megad safam, v'ish amru tam achem, v'shem elvizuko tam yidim, Rabbi Akiva shemetu. Rabbi Yerucham says, the real reason has nothing to do with Rabbi Akiva. He knows that people quote this, right? But he says, well, this is the time of the year when we brought the korban ha'omer, which is made from barley. What's the only other korban that's brought from barley? The korban sota. And therefore, we don't marry people because something like this is connected to sota. Not exactly clear, and we let our hair grow. I don't know exactly what he wants from that, right? But the point is, he seems to think that there's something else going on here, right? It's not about the death of Rabbi Akiva's students. It's something else, right? So you should know that even later, even after the Menhagim are accepted, this isn't the only tradition that it's about the Talmidim Rabbi Akiva. There's the Crusade component. There's other reasons. There's what I told you from Rabbi Yitzchak Twersky, that it's really more about, you know, finding a way of being mitabel in a way that doesn't contradict the Rosh Chodesh, the Chol HaMoed aspects of this. But as we all know, most people, even we do have this minhag of Avelut, we don't mourn the entire time, right? Some people mourn until Lag BaOmer, some mourn from Rosh Chodesh until... Where does that come from? Meaning, even if it's connected to this, the Gemara says they died. So what is that? So if you look at the earlier sources, you look at the Drasha of Rabbi Yitzchak Ibn Shweib, that's what I gave you here in 3, right? So he says, Umasha Roga Am Lahagdil Safam at Lag BaOmer, right? Lag LaOmer. Lo matinu b'inyan. He says, first of all, the fact that people don't cut their hair, I have no idea why they don't do that. Right? So you see that in the earlier sources, the minhag is starting that people don't cut their hair, but that's not the original source. The original is the marriage one. Right? Then eventually there's an early minhag clearly about hair cutting, but it's not immediately accepted, and then more come later. So he says, right, so he quotes, Shamar Lag Eno Mashano again, Ella Lag Yom Kshidaj Shivat Yim Pesach Shiva Shinatot. So he says, first of all, one possibility is that really it's all Sfira to Omer. So what is the 33 days that people talk about? It's 49 minus the days that you can't be metaba, which is Chol Moed, Rosh Chodesh, right? Right, so Pesach is of Sfirat Omer 6 or 7 days in the Chutz La'aretz, Rosh Chodesh, Shabbatot, right? The Shloshit Mehagbalah, right? Whatever, like the end right before, right? Whatever. And you count that all but 16, it ends up that 30 days you can mourn, right? So one of his answers is that really you're supposed to do the entire time, right? But he says some people say it's the first 33 days. Why? Because in the Midrash's version, it doesn't say ad haseret, it says ad pros haseret. And what's pros haseret? Chu chamish asher yom, right? That's 15 days before haseret, right? Which is the 34th day of the Omer.
First time that 34 is going to come up.
Yeah, right? So that's the 34th day of the Omer, which you do know many people, as far as them at the Minog, that they start, right? They'll keep the first half, they don't stop it on Lag BaOmer, they stop it on after Lag BaOmer, on the 34th. And then he says, why on the 34th? Because Mikseh de Yom Kikulo, and you can stop. Okay? Possible. It's very possible that's a mistake, yeah. Now, the tour quotes a position. So the notion that we stop on Lag BaOmer already is found, right, in the Torah, quotes from his father, the Rush, that if you tie the minhag to the death of Rebbe's students, they stop dying on Lag BaOmer, and therefore you stop there, right? So the notion that you stop, that you do the first 33 days, not including Lag BaOmer, comes from the idea they stop dying then, right? Or possibly that, but the day after, which is what you get from the drashot of Rebbe's Shweib. And then there's the minhag that you should... now, the Maharil accepts the position that, what? Yes. Yes, correct. That's exactly the point of the Gemara. Yeah, which is not a happy thing. The Maharil, now the Maharil actually, la halacha, accepts that first day that you have in the drashot of Ibn Shweib. Right, which is that you mourn all the days. The only difference between them, there is one difference I'll just tell you outside, but the Maharil says, right, again he quotes this and he says, Osim Yav Lag BaOmer Yom Mishteh, on Lag BaOmer itself they stop dying to subtract Lag BaOmer. And then he lists to subtract the 7 days of Shabbat, the last seven days of Pesach in Chutz La'aretz, 2 days of Rosh Chodesh Iyar, 1 day of Rosh Chodesh Sivan. So the Maharil ends up with 32. The Ibn Shweib quotes it, but he quotes it 1 day of Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and that's where he gets to 33. But more or less, both of them are pointing to the direction that really it's all of the days, just there are some days you don't have to mourn. Right? So there is that tradition. What? Right, okay. So whatever that, you know, that is, whatever the mourning is, it's those days. Now, obviously, you can't get married on Shabbat either, so, but you mourn on all the days that you could, and then, obviously, you can't cut your hair either on Shabbat. Now, as everyone asks, so many people ask what Judah asked, which is, okay, fine, let's say that's true. Why should you celebrate on the day they stopped dying if the reason they stopped dying is because they were all dead? And that's not usually, right, a happy day, right? So that's why there are other traditions. So, for example, the Chidah in number 6 says, no, that's not why you celebrate in Lag BaOmer, because obviously they're all dead. That's not, right? How do I know that they were all dead? Because what's the continuation of the Gemara? V'nishar ha'olam shamem. The world was desolate. So he says, no, it must be that Lag BaOmer was the day he started teaching those next 5 students. Meaning, it's not that they stopped dying. That wouldn't be enough, because if they stopped dying and some of them survived, it would be a happy day. If they stopped dying because they were dead, well, that's not so happy. So he just denies it. And he says, no, the reason that that Lag BaOmer is in any sense happy is because that's when he started learning with his new students. Okay, so what do we have so far? We have several reasons for the rationale of any new Hugei Avelut. Right, either the death of Rebbe Givin's students, the connection to the Crusades, or the Crusades generated this minhag, and we then attached it to that, or this weird Sota connection, or we mentioned from Yitzchak Chorsky some combination of Avelut and Chol HaMoed. And we noted that the earliest Minog only talks about weddings. Some of the later Minogim start talking about haircutting. And then we said, when do you mourn? So we saw there is this magic number 33, maybe 32 floating around. But one position is that means all the days of Surah that are not happy days, which either come out to 32, 33. That's Ibn Shriv and Maharel. Or it's the day until they stop dying. Or possibly the day until he started learning more Torah. Right? That's the Chida. Now, Shulchan Aruch and the Rama argue about this. Now, if I asked you, before you look, what do you guess? Shulchan Aruch, which of these Nihugi Avelot does he accept? And the Rama, which one does he accept? Well,
just go to Ashkenazi and
Sephardim. Okay, good. So what do they do?
Sephardim hold till the 34th, I would say.
When do you hold it? The first half or second half?
First half, 33rd.
Okay, good. So people don't realize that Shulchan Aruch, in the time of Shulchan Aruch, he had that minhag, the Rama had the other minhag.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. So he says, Noagim shall only stop her ad Lag BaOmer. The Shulchan Aruch says the minhag is not to get a haircut until Lag BaOmer. Shomer az pasku lamuk. That's when they stop dying. The ain li stop her at Yom Lamedalid BaBuk. All right, Shulchan Aruch, as we saw, has the minhag, like we saw it in Shweb, that you should what? Wait till Lamedalid. Right? Meaning it's stopped on the 14th, on the 34th day, which is 15 days before. But mikzat ayom kikulo, part of the day is enough. So on, unless elam genchal lag baomer erev Shabbat, shas misarim baom nikvot Shabbat. So Shulchan Aruch says we do the first unit. He says you go until day 34, non inclusive, with one exception, which is if lag baomer falls on Friday, he lets you get a haircut on Shabbat, on erev Shabbat, lichvot Shabbat. Right, because.
But before that, would you still be able to get a haircut?
No, according to him, you can't get a haircut until then. He takes the first half and he notes already the minhag of not getting a haircut. Because here, Shabbat, you would allow to get a haircut, yeah. Right? But you can't because it's Shabbat, so we let you do it right before Shabbat.
Okay. But before.
Correct, and we don't allow you to do it.
Okay.
Kaha, that's his minhag. I don't know. Now we can. Come back. Right now, I just want to get sort of the basic numbers down. If you want, next week, we can get into some of the details, like, okay, haircuts people don't generally get, but shaving, as you know, is a big machloket, where some people here, you'll see, are not going to shave the entire time. You'll see that I shave every Friday, right? I know that's hard to believe, but I did actually shave 3 days ago, right? Like, it grows way too fast. During the 3 weeks, I just get a full beard. Like, 3 weeks, I don't shave, and, like, grows very, very fast.
Why does it?
It's not that new. The Gaon, right? It's already quoted the Rishonim already saying that there's such a minhag. Right? Drasha Ibn Shrib says it's a minhag. I don't like it. But by the time you get to Shulchan Aruch, he's already accepted the minhag. It's become widespread.
Right. But I feel like if the Ramban says that it's a chomoid, then therefore.
So again, right? It's clear that the minhag developed. Right now, I just want to get the contours of it. Next week, we can do.
I can't believe music is just so frowned upon.
I understand. Again, I think that's what I'm going to do next time, is where do these, you got to do it in stages. First, they establish the notion of any sort of avelut, then you got to figure out what the avelut are. So the Rama says, So first of all, the Rama notes that the minhag is not, that in Ashkenaz, Lag BaOmer itself is a happy day. The Rama does quote the first half. But he stops it on Lag BaOmer, right? Based, and the Gra says that this is following the tour that they stopped dying on Lag BaOmer, right? So the Gra says, look, basically the same as Shulchan Aruch. It's just they're arguing about that one day. The Bach quotes the following. He says, he says, why do people shave on Lag BaOmer? Shalom made to Elviam Shaomrim Tinobahem. He says, no, why is Lag BaOmer a happy day? Not because necessarily it ended Lag BaOmer, but because of the other Shita, that it was 32 out of the 49. And Lag BaOmer was one of the exceptions. Right? And that's why. Not because, right?
So now those 32 days are scattered.
Yeah. Now, here, in the first place, the Ramah doesn't challenge him. But in the next Sif, so number 10, that's when he, Shulchan Aruch, quotes the other Minog. Yesh Nogim Nistaper Rosh Chodesh Iyar V'Tau to B'Yadam. Some say that they can shave on Rosh Chodesh Iyar. He says that's a mistake. But the Ramah then quotes, Miu Bahar V'Makon Nogim Nistaper Ad Rosh Chodesh Iyar. He quotes the second Minog. Right, which is that some people start at Rosh Chodesh and then do the next 33 days. Votenly start from Milag Baomer Vayelach Avo Bishamut Lestar Lag Baomer Atzmo, and some of those people will allow you to shave on Lag Baomer itself. Right, it's the last 33. Well, no, Lag Baomer till the Shulchan Aruch Bala minus Lag Baomer itself. Votenly Mekom Shenogim Lestar from Milag Baomer Vayelach Lestar from Klal Achar Pesach Ad Lag Baomer. But he says, you shouldn't have two in one place, people who are splitting the minhagim. Yeah.
Why would the last 32 or 33 make sense? It's either 30 to the 50 or the first 32.
Yeah, so that's a good question. So is it that they thought people died then? Is it connected to something else? It's not totally clear. Now, the Magen Avraham notes there were people who did keep the full 49 minus, you know, the days when you don't mourn. Okay. So we see that the Ramah, though, the Ramah doesn't seem to really care which of the minhagim he takes. What's the one thing he is worried about? Consistency within the community. However, and if you know me, you've probably mentioned this before, I have a bit of a hang-up on why people continue to be Ashkenazim and Sephardim. I don't think it makes much sense because, you know, Ashkenaz and Sephard used to be based on Minhag HaMakom, and we don't live in Ashkenaz or Sephard, which is a shear for another time. But in this particular case, Ramosha is very aware of this, and he says, look, the Ramah only made sense where primarily people did have a unified minhag in a place, so then he can oppose having a divergent minhag just for this. Nowadays, complete chaos, right? So he says, first of all, he says, listen, everyone has different minhagim. And he says, where we live, many people follow Shulchan Aruch, even Ashkenazim, quote-unquote, the first 33 days, as Nathan said. That's probably more common. And they paskin like the Ramah, that Lag BaOmer is excluded. Right? Hence, they party on Lag BaOmer. And he says, and I think a lot of Sephardim are mekil. And he said, the exception of Rosh Chodesh, the Ramah doesn't seem to hold of. So the minhag is all the days until Lag BaOmer in the morning. So he said, I want to tell you the truth. Really, I think that you don't need a consistent minhag. Why? Because it's all the same minhag. Really, the minhag was you have to mourn on 33 days. Doesn't matter which ones. Now, this is, I admit, very strange, right? Because as Nathan said, if it's really tied to some historical event, so then it should be when that historical event happened. But the truth is, what you see is that people don't seem to care so much. Or Moshe's like, it was a minhag at some point. Now, this supports more of the notion that it was really like a zecher to, like, the Crusades. It's a bit looser. Maybe. I don't know. It's a very hard svar, but that's what he thinks. Now, he says, therefore, he doesn't think it's a problem of lotit godudu. Lotit godudu is when you have divergent minhagim in one place. But he thinks, very mechudash, then in this case, there's no problem of lotus go to do because there is no real minog. It's all the same thing. Derak a minog, derak adlag, hu minog echad, diya asul shandu, the whole din minog. Vazek other amash, ikum shalas go to shu achadim, yinagu kumin amachar rachal, kumin amachar cheshbon, malag yamim, aval shalashim ram shukulam, em cheshbon alag yamim, lag yamim shalas go to rak, mishum tam machloket. He says, not really lotus go to, maybe fights. Is a problem, and those are two different things. Lotus Godu is more about creating schisms, which is not necessarily about fights, right? No, so I'll put it very simply. What the way Rashi presents it is Lo Yeh Torah Kishtei Torah. Lotus Godu is that the Torah doesn't look like two Torah. Yeah. Now, which looks like there's two Torah? When people fight about it, or they don't fight about it? They don't fight about it. Very good. Right? Meaning, when does it become like two Torah? When people accept that people have different practices. If everyone agrees there's one practice and they fight over what it is, then it's clearly one Torah and your argument what it is. When you stop fighting is when it looks like two Torah. So the notion of it being two Torah and Machloket are actually opposites. Exactly. So Rav Moshe says that it's not Lotus Godu because Lotus Godu would require it there to be a firm minog and people have different minogim. Here he's like, there's all the same minhag, who cares? But there might be fights, so you should try to have uniformity. But he says, if that's the case, there's not going to be machloket, because he says, L'chein b'New York or b'Brooklyn, v'chadome, shekol minhagim kol olam mitnayu. Everyone has all the minhagim in the world. Lo shayach machloket, sheyadu azeh l'kol sheyesh b'kankam minhagim. Everyone knows there's different minhagim, kol echad l'shana b'lag, elu l'lag achirim, achlo b'shana achad. And therefore he says, you want to switch from one year to another, go ahead. In the same year, you can't, obviously, because then, you know, you'd get to just the middle days, right? I keep the Mekel sheet, I keep the late Shita until Rosh Chodesh, and then I keep the early Shita after that. So I only keep from Rosh Chodesh to Lag BaOmer. It doesn't work that way. But Rav Moshe said you could switch year to year. You want to switch year to year? And by the way, people do this all the time. A lot of people, they do this, that they have one that they keep, except if, like, they have a family wedding that they want to do, and then they switch for that year and only that year. And he says, but this only works according to the Gra. That the reason that you stop in Lag BaOmer is definitely stop dying. According to the Bach, they didn't die on Lag BaOmer, and really the minhag is to mourn all 49 days minus the days which are happy, and one of those happens to be Lag BaOmer. But he says it's a minhag, and that's why we're mekel, and that's why most people are mekel on Lag BaOmer, at least Ashkenazim, to be mekel on Lag BaOmer itself, because he said the whole thing's a minhag.
But why is Lag BaOmer happy?
What?
Like one point of happiness.
Yeah, don't ask. Maybe that's when he started teaching them. Again. So what comes out is the following, is that there is some sort of minhag to mourn for some part of the days between Pesach and Rosh Chodesh. This is bizarre because it really should be a happy day, as the Ramban notes, like a Chol Moed. One tradition ties it to the Gemara's notion that that was when Talmidei Rabbi Akiva died. And then a Shulchan Aruch tradition is that stopped on Lag BaOmer. Judah's problem is, well, that's not really a reason to rejoice if they stopped because they died. And they're dead, so they can't die again. Hence, the Chidah said, no, that's when we stop mourning, because that's when he started to rebuild. But there are other reasons, such as either it's that plus the Crusades, or really, the real reason that it picked up was the Crusades. And then they sort of attached it to the Talmudic reason. Or that weird reason of Rabbi Yerucham, that it's nothing to do with anything. It has to do with, like, the Karban Sota. And we saw the earliest minhag was just not marrying, and later you got the haircutting one, which was rejected by some of the Rishonim. I gave you Rav Tursky's suggestion that maybe, even though it's mourning, it has to be mourning that's in consonance with Chol Hamoed. But whatever it is, there seems to be this very amorphous minhag. Now, one minhag is the first 33, or possibly 34, right? Where do you get 34? So that's B'pros HaPesach. Approach Atzeret, right? 15 days before is 34. Mikzare Yom Kikulo, that's Shulchan Aruch. Based on Ibn Shvi, right? That you stop then. The Gra thinks they stopped dying on Lag BaOmer. That's 30. So on day 33, that's Minag of the Ramah. Then there's the all 49 minus the days that you don't mourn, which is one version in Ibn Shri, one in Maharil. The Bach says the reason we don't mourn on Lag BaOmer is not because that's the end, but simply it's one of the days that is excluded from the 49. Ramosha says the reason we're Mekel is because the whole thing's Minhag, so you take the most Mekel Shita. The Ramah says that every community should have a unified position because of Lotzitz Go to do. Ramosha disagrees and says, no, it's just Minhag. Morgan Avram also is opposed to it. And he says, and it's not even really a Minhag because it seems like you look at it, the Minhag is sort of amorphous. It's like mourn at some point for 30 some odd days between Pesach and Shavuot. If that's the case, it's just a problem of fighting. And if everyone has different Minhag, it doesn't matter. And Ramosha goes so far as to say that whatever these are, you can switch. Not, you know, in the same year, but year to year, you can switch. Now, there are certain kulot. When Rosh Chodesh falls on Shabbat, so then there were some who said it couldn't get it that Friday, right? It was like a super happy thing. Right, so the Shari Dura quotes. There's actually he says no sebo b'Shabbat. He says b'Shabbat, but I don't know if that means Shabbat. It probably means Friday or something. The Bach quotes it. It's certainly done by the Bach. Minari Dura Shal Rosh Chodesh b'Yar b'Shabbat. You know, sin monav shachlim nagul l'shem because you're not allowed to get married on Shabbat. That's why it's weird. Right? The Mishnah says you can't. Right. So he says, "Vnirli divide lo nagu heter elami lag veilach." And the comments really the chal rosh chodesh yerbe Shabbat me'achem between in simcha b'yom haShabbat you Shabbat rosh chodesh l'achmir ba'avil ishana kula. I have a nosin bo. Agav de nosin b'rosh chodesh yard alma sheino shul Shabbat me'kom chal Shabbat nosin bo chanav achmir mivedok. Right now he also seems to say it's Shabbat itself. I don't know, but many I think it's you know, and he says, "Look, because like you know it's a minhag, and then you combine all the different things, so like." Yeah, something like that. But now they do talk about getting married on Shabbat, which again is against the Mishnah, so I'm not sure exactly what they mean. It might mean Friday. Mishnah Brura clearly says that when Rosh Chodesh falls on Shabbat, the minhag is to shave or cut your hair on Friday. Right? That there is such a minhag. Right? Now what? So Mishnah Brura quotes that if Rosh Chodesh Iyar falls on Shabbat, then the minhag is to be made to get a haircut on Friday. Look what Shabbat Rosh Chodesh.
Why would the double help?
I don't know. And he clearly understands the minhag of getting married, not to get married on Shabbat, because that's usur. What he thinks it means is to get married on Friday and have the su'udah on Shabbat. And that's what he thinks it means, right? So you look at the Mishnah Brura, he says, Gam lisa isha bo bayom, meaning on Friday, kevan she'ikra suda yeh b'Shabbat Rosh Chodesh, right? So it's clear that the Mishnah Brura understands that early minhag, which is reasonable because it's also get married on Shabbat, that what it means is that not that you'd get married on Shabbat, but that you would have the party or the meal on Shabbat and the wedding on Friday, right? So that is one of these other exceptions. Another is what happens if Lag BaOmer falls on Sunday. Okay? So the Marivayil, the Maril quotes the following. He says, "Vim gam imchal Lag BaOmer biyom echad lo hiter l'gadachver Shabbat." He says, we don't then allow you to shave on Friday.
Why is that?
Which is 2 days before. He just says we can't do that. He just says it's not part of it. But if Lag BaOmer were to fall on Shabbat, which according to our calendar it doesn't, then he aval shim chal shloshim shelo b'Shabbat then he would allow you.
Wait, but this is only people that don't shave anyway.
Well, hair cutting, but we'll get to whether we can do whether it's different now. Yes. Now, the Marivayil, though, is Mekil. Marivayil says that if Lag BaOmer is Yom Echad, he tarti l'saper b'yom vav l'fanav. He says you are allowed to. You are allowed to shave on Friday. And the reason is, just like an Avel. An Avel, that if his shloshim is going to end on Shabbat, we allow him already to bathe and do all the things before Shabbat. Right? So it says here too, it's like a slap in the face to Shabbat to only look nice immediately after Shabbat, right? And the Ramah is mekel this way, right? So if Lag BaOmer's on Sunday, people are mekel. Okay, so what I wanted to do today was just outline the basic contours of the when of the avilut. And again, the earliest of the minhagim was simply don't get married. Later on, you get the haircut. Let me give you the very brief version of shaving, but we'll come back to it, okay? So I keep saying shaving. However, it's a little bit more complicated than that. The minhag is clearly haircutting. So why do you see people shaving? No, I'm asking you, like, why do I shave? So, okay, we'll leave work for a second. But so we're going to see is that one of the differences as follows is that shaving, if you have a beard, then shaving is basically the same as haircutting. Right? The heterim that you see of shaving derive from the fact that people are clean shaven and you look disgusting much earlier when you're clean shaven and you allow it to go, right? Like I haven't shaved in like 3 days, whatever. What's today, Tuesday? 4 days? Right? And I already, this looks terrible, right? Whereas, like, a haircut, right? You don't get a haircut every 2 days. But a beard, right? If you're clean shaven very, very quickly, most people look, right? So we're going to see that, yes. So some people are makil, as Judah says, for work. But the major one is, I'll tell you basically two versions of it, okay? Very quickly. Let me give you two versions of it. But we'll come back to it next week. One is the notion that that the Omer is a minog. Hair cutting and the like, even within it, is like a later addition to it. And Kavod Shabbat is Doraita. So now you'll say, the Rishonim know that? The answer is yes, but they had a beard. Most people had beards. If you have a beard, it's not a lack of Kavod Shabbat if you don't shave every Friday. You don't look that bad. If you have a full beard, you go a few weeks, so it looks a little bit roughy. Everybody, right? Meaning, it looks bad, right? If you're clean shaven, you go into Shabbat looking kazem.
Is this like an objective thing or a subjective thing for a person?
I think both, right? Meaning, so that's one possibility, okay? There is an even more makel possibility, which is based on the Rav. The Rav felt that even Minhagim, you've probably heard this before, but the Rav felt that even Minhagim have to be built on a Doraita. Just like the Gemara says, that Kol Darabanan Ke'in Doraita Tikkun, any rabbinic law, they model it after a biblical model. So he thought Minhagim were as well. So he said, okay, well then what is this modeled on? So he thinks that it's modeled on the Avelut of Yud Bet Chodesh. Right? Right? Now, like of a parent, the extended part, right? Not Shiva, not Shloshim, but Yud Bet Chodesh. Right, the most makel form. Now the halacha is by avelut, right? Yud bet chodesh. When, let's say, for a parent, when a parent dies, when are you allowed to start cutting your hair? So the halacha is at sheyigar bo chaveiro, is when people look at you and say, ugh, right? You look disgusting, right? Therefore, if you think that that's the case, the Rav argued that as soon as you start looking disgusting, you could shave. Right? So Rav Shechter, for example, paskins like this in the Rav, and basically says during Sfira, if you're clean shaven, you can shave every like 3 days or so, more or less, right? Like if you normally shave every 2 days, right, or every other, right, if you shave every day, then maybe every other day you could shave. If you shave every 2 days or by 3 days, you start looking grungy. Then whenever you start looking grungy, someone will look at you and say, right, you can shave. Right? So you will find that, and then there are some people who say, well, if you need it for work, so then work, and it's only a minute, whatever. So you'll see many people shaving, not haircuts, but shaving, either because of the work thing, right? Some people will only shave on Friday because of the Kavod Shabbat, when you're clean shaven argument. Well, that's being part of the general rules of Kavod Shabbat. You're supposed to, right? You're supposed to get a haircut or a shave. But that's. I mean, this is like standard in Gemara and Rishon. Like, you're supposed to look nice. And one of the things that you're supposed to quote in Halacha is getting a haircut if you need, right? And obviously shaving and things like that. And like I said, by Yom Tov, the whole reason that we aser getting a haircut on Yom Tov, on Chol Hamoed, is that you'll get it before, right? This is clearly Kavod Shabbat, Kavod Yom Tov. Right? The Gemara takes this as an assumption. So if you, again, most people had beards, so shaving wasn't something to daily, but you know, shaving was part of the haircutting thing. So you will find a lot of people who will shave on Friday, and then you will find some, like, YU people, like Tommy Nerver Schechter, will shave, like, every 2-3 days. I mean, when I was in Rambam, you know, most of my Rebbeim shaved on Friday, and when I was in Gush, most of the Rebbeim, you know, shaved on Fridays. That's what I, you know, that's what I do. But there were, when I was in YU, people who were Tommy Nerver Schechter, who shaved, like, every 2-3 days. But that's already getting some of the details of this. But for now, I just wanted to sort of give you the overview. And then next time we can get into some of the details, maybe more about, you know, see some of these sources inside in terms of haircutting and the like. And maybe the music one, which is even, you know, less sourced, and see how that one developed. Okay.